You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
John Means' no-hitter was the third of the season already. I was curious, big-name pitchers, Hall of Fame pitchers, who haven't thrown no-hitters. And Roger Clemens never did it. Pedro Martinez never did it. Greg Maddux never did it. Steve Carlton never did it. So those are some, I mean, how many starts do you have with those pitchers combined? You know, Don Drysdale, Whitey Ford, Robin Roberts, Early Wynn, Curt Schilling, CC Sabathia. The best active pitcher without a no-hitter, Zach Greinke, I guess. But, yeah, pretty amazing. You start to look at those who have no-hitters, and why is it it's the guy that you probably haven't heard too much about? Now, does the opposition not get geared up when you're facing somebody like John Means? But if this was, you know, somebody, well, I was going to say the Orioles don't have not necessarily a great pitching staff, but, you know, Max Scherzer or Justin Verlander, you're going to be facing them, you're probably going to be a little bit more geared up. But Maddux, I understand, not throwing a no-hitter because he allowed them, the opposition, put the ball in play. Like, he got you out. He was not trying to strike you out. But Carlton, strikeout guy, Schilling, strikeout guy, Clemens, strikeout guy. You know, those are the guys that you have no-hitters. Yeah, Paul.
Means was a couple years ago. He actually made the All-Star team in 2019. He was 12-11. He was second for Rookie of the Year, even though he's 26 years old. He was second for Rookie of the Year. This year, he's 4-0 and a Cy Young candidate. He's ERA is 1.37. But there's always names like, I remember there was a guy for the Cardinals probably 15 years ago named Bud Smith. I think it was his second month in the league. He throws a no-hitter. I have no idea if he played 10 more games or two more years. Or it happens sometimes in the majors. Remember Mike Weir from Canada? He won a major.
Yeah, won the Masters.
I have no idea.
He's still playing.
Yeah.
He's playing on the Champions Tour and playing well.
But then he never followed up. It's like a moment and then you go.
He won like two weeks ago. He beat John Daly in a Champions event. But yeah, you're right. You get that one moment. And sometimes this happens in golf with majors where you go, Danny Willett has won the Masters. And you go, and we'll never hear from Danny Willett again, probably. Who was the guy who won in Minnesota? Rich Beem. Remember, Rich Beem won the PGA Championship?
Little guy. He used to be on the show all the time.
Yeah, he was part of the book. What is it? Not Blood, Sweat, and Beers, but it was something. There was a book that was based on, Alan Shipnuck wrote it, and it was about Rich Beem and his caddy. And I forget what the name of the book was, but it was really insightful. Yes, Todd?
Blood, Sweat, and Tease.
Blood, Sweat, and Tease. Fritzy just, somebody else just sent me this. Pedro threw a no-hitter for 9 innings against the Padres, but the team hadn't scored either. He lost his no-hitter in the 10th or 11th inning. But still, no no-hitter for Pedro. Yes, Paul.
Seems like Jacob DeGrom needs no-hitters to win games these days.
Even then, he might have a no-hitter and go, we're going to have to go into the 10th inning here.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt sorry for a high-end athlete?
Yes, yes. I mean, not that sorry because he gets paid, but sometimes that happens with certain pitchers where the team doesn't score. No, they just don't. Keegan in Iowa. Hey, Keegan, what's on your mind?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Keegan.
6'1", 160.
All right.
I hate to do it, but I got to defend the toddler here. I remember my freshman year of high school basketball, our coach lined us up in layup lines. And we did drills on how to take a charge so you don't smack your head.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Keegan. So somebody agrees with you, Todd, that you can take charges or practice it.
I just remember my Little League basketball career. I was an 0-20 team, and no one would pass me the ball. I played on a team. Everyone was, for some reason, 3 years older than me. The ball happened to bounce my way. I threw it, and it went over the backboard because there was no way I was going to pass it back. And the coach gave me one of these things with his finger, like, here's a nice spot next to me on the bench. You're done for the afternoon.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
Nolan Ryan, 7 no-hitters. Sandy Koufax, 4. Justin Verlander, 3. Bob Feller, 3. Cy Young, 3. Larry Corcoran, 3. Mike Fiers, 2. Jake Arrieta, 2. Randy Johnson in there. Johnny Vandermeer, of course, do the back-to-back no-hitters. Not a lot of big names, though, throwing those no-hitters. Nolan Ryan, I think 7 no-hitters and then had like 12 one-hitters. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. It was just about a week ago, a couple hours from now, where Adam Schefter came on SportsCenter and said basically that Aaron Rodgers wanted out of Green Bay. Walk me through that. Did you get a phone call or text?
You know, Dan, the funny part about it is that I've heard people say, oh, Aaron Rodgers wanted that out before the draft. Mm-hmm. I can assure you Aaron Rodgers did not want that out before the draft. I've had people say the Green Bay Packers planted that. It was a very pro-Packer story.
Yeah,
I can assure you the Green Bay Packers didn't plant that. When people guess at where stories come from, more often than not, they're usually wrong. And in this case, they're wrong. This was an accumulation all during the offseason of just listening to people talk and observing. And if we go back to the NFC Championship game that the Green Bay Packers lost at home, did we not hear Aaron Rodgers after that game talk about his level of unhappiness, if you will, uncertainty for the future? Just go back and listen to that press conference, and it sounds almost like he's saying goodbye to Green Bay. And so your antenna's up, and I'm just telling you throughout the course of the offseason, there was rarely a week that went by where I didn't hear something about Aaron Rodgers. And on draft day, there's a report that morning from Paul Allen out in Minneapolis that the 49ers made a draft offer, which they didn't make an offer. They never made an offer. And other people are saying that the 49ers called. And I said, how long till it gets out that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay? Is it next week? Is it next when he doesn't show to the OTAs? Is it next month when he isn't? It's going to come out. What does it matter if it comes out now or next week or next month? And so.
So you chose to break the news on draft day.
That is absolutely accurate. Correct.
But it wasn't something that you got information about.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, it was nothing that morning that came in.
Okay.
All of a sudden said to me, yeah, he wants out. You should report this. Like, it was going on all off season. You just keep hearing it. And there was more and more talk. And now there's starting to be Aaron Rodgers talking. I said, you know what? This isn't going to wait much longer. Let's just go. It just happened to be drafted.
Because I wondered when you said it didn't come from Rodgers, didn't come from the Packers, and it's being characterized differently. I was wondering, okay, you're not going to tell me your source. You know, what was the motive behind that? Yeah.
Dan, there's not a source.
No, I know, but I know that now, but we're just finding this out right now.
I said it on NFL Live. I said it on my podcast. I said it, you know, I mean, I don't know. People want to believe whatever they want to believe. It was just an accumulation of information throughout the course of the entire offseason.
Did the Rams make an offer?
The Rams inquired in January. And again, that's an example. I knew when they were calling.
Yeah.
And they were quickly rebuffed. Yeah. Like, the conversation went nowhere, but they checked in early in January. And they were not the only team that checked in. So, by the way, Dan, why are these teams checking in?
Because he's available, or their hearing is available.
Well, where are they hearing that?
Are they hearing it from the Packers, or are they hearing it from Aaron Rodgers? Because it has to come from one of those two, right?
Well, I'm just saying that there was a lot of speculation in league circles, however you want to characterize that, that he was unhappy and wanted out. And then if you just, again, go back to the press conference, go back to Jeopardy. Now, he could play Jeopardy. He could do Jeopardy, host Jeopardy, and play football. He could do that. But he's doing that. He's making the comments he's making. I mean, you know, it's funny. There were so many people that knew this of his unhappiness that I think all I really did was shine a light on some of what had gone on. The fact that, you know, Mark Murphy, the Packers president, had flown out to meet with him. The Packers GM, Brian Gutekunst, had flown out to meet with him. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur had flown out to meet with him. They're all trying to state their case, plead with him to come back, explain to him why he should be in Green Bay. And by the way, it doesn't appear that any of them made any progress with him. So this was all going on.
But what can we confirm, though, Adam? Does he want Brian Gutekunst fired, the GM? Can we confirm that?
I've never said that.
I'm just saying there's so much information out that other people have put out there. I don't know what has been confirmed. I mean, Rodgers hasn't said anything. I mean, even, you know, did he refer to Gutekunst as Jerry Krause? I don't know that. But
Dan, let me say this. There's so much stuff that's floating around out there, some of which is probably true, some of which probably isn't. And I would say this also. Whatever's floating around out there, whatever's being said, we probably don't know the majority of the story. And I'll say this, like when Tom Brady left New England, we think we might have an idea, but I guarantee you one day we'll hear more to that than what was just out there being discussed on your show or ESPN or whatever it may be. And I believe that that's the case with Aaron Rodgers. We know he was unhappy with some of the moves the Packers made. We know that he didn't like that they not only drafted Jordan Love, but didn't even tell him they were drafting Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. We know that he has issues with certain people, but we probably don't know a lot of the things that have really pissed him off through the years in Green Bay that have been building. And plus, Dan, everybody gets like this. I think at some point in your life, you were probably like this. You get to a certain point, he got engaged over the new year. Different life. He's been there 17 years, right? At some point, everybody wants to try something different. You wanted to try something different at one point in time. Did you not? How old were you when that happened, Dan?
50.
Okay. Well, Aaron Rodgers is 50 in quarterback years, right?
Yeah.
So,
But do you know that he wants out? He still wants out?
Well, I know. I believe. Do I know? Yeah, I know he wants. Yeah, I believe. Do I know he wants out? What do we know? Fully know. I have been told that he does not want to be there by many people. Okay.
Yeah.
So you whatever that means, he doesn't want to be there.
Well, I'm just trying to separate fact from fiction, rumor from innuendo, and that's why I go to the source. That's why I wanted to have you on, because it started with you. Now, did I hear about the Rams thing later? Yes, I did. I wondered about the Niners if you gave them a do-over. Don't trade those draft picks to the Dolphins, and you can have those draft picks. Would the Packers have entertained a trade like that? No,
I don't believe they would have.
Okay.
You know, Kyle Shanahan called Matt LaFleur that night to feel it out to see whether the Niners should make a run, as these men have documented, and quickly was able to ascertain that the Packers had at that time no interest in dealing Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And so the talks never went anywhere, just as they never went anywhere with the Los Angeles Rams. But then we are now in early May, and the Packers have held firm to their stance. And the interesting part becomes now, over time, what happens to change this particular dynamic? Does Aaron Rodgers soften his stance? I don't believe he will, but we'll see. Do the Green Bay Packers come off their stance of saying we won't trade him? I don't know. Right now, they don't have to make a decision, right? The fact of the matter is they couldn't trade him until after June 1 anyway, due to the salary cap numbers. If they trade him today, it would be a $38 million charge. If they trade him post June 1, it would be split up to 16 and 22 between the 2 years. So they can't even do anything for the next 26, 27 days, whatever that may be. So there's no reason for them to budge up that stance. They want Aaron Rodgers to change his mind. They're going to continue to hold out hope that he changes his mind, do what they can to change his mind. I don't think he will, but there's no rush right now.
So potential suitors here, because if you think this stalemate continues and Rodgers doesn't want to play, at some point the Packers have to cut their losses and just say, okay.
Well, hold on. Yeah, but do they, Dan? Because they could just say, you know what, Aaron, you don't want to play anymore. You're not going to play here. We're not going to trade you. And then it's just a standoff. Now, I don't think that serves anybody.
But nobody wins.
But, okay, do you want to be the guy in Green Bay? Do you want to be the Mark Murphy, the president, the GM, who trades Aaron Rodgers? Do you want to do, you want that on your resume, Dan?
I think they already chose that direction by drafting Jordan Love, Adam.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, that's where a lot of this starts, a lot of this. Again, how much, I don't know, but certainly a healthy portion of it.
Yeah.
And that was their decision. And so, again, they could say, that, you know, as somebody said to me yesterday, each side has leverage. The Packers could say, we're not trading you, and if you don't want to play, you're never playing again. And, oh, by the way, and this would be really petty and really small and really hard to imagine, but they could say, you also owe us $30 million in signing bonus money.
Yeah.
Now, I can't believe that somebody who's done so much for one franchise would be subject to that, where the team would come after him for the money. But the Packers could do that. It's a business. I mean, that would be their decision. Aaron Rodgers, if he says, I'm not showing up, they're in trouble. And so to me, I've always felt like Aaron Rodgers wants the Green Bay Packers to do everything here. He wants them to draft Jordan Love. He wants them to trade him. He doesn't want any of the mud on his hands. And I've always felt like Aaron Rodgers has got to get a little mud on his hands and not worry about it, not care, because the mud's going to wash off. All you have to do is say, I love Green Bay, love my 17 years there, love the coaches, and I love the players, my teammates, but they made their decision last year, and now with everything going on in my life, I'm making mine. It's not that hard, right? Sorry. I know that'll disappoint some people, but that's where he's at.
Why hasn't Rodgers spoken, Adam?
I don't know that. That's a great question. To me,
because he can clear up a lot of this rumor, innuendo, what's fact.
It's not rumor, innuendo. He wants out. He wants out. He does not want to be there. That's not a rumor. That's not innuendo. He doesn't want to be there.
Well, no, the other stuff about, you know, how he views Gutekunst, you know, that like there's other things there. You know, I trust what you say that he wants out. But if he does say, hey, you know, they cut my friend Jake Kumerow. Okay, how important was that to this? You drafted Jordan Love. You didn't give me a heads up. Do I have my issues with Brian Gutekunst? Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But at some point, I think he owes it to himself and the situation to just tell us what you feel, what you think, instead of us trying to read into it.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I don't think he owes that to us. Why did Carson Palmer, did he ever state why he held out of Cincinnati and wanted to move? Do we know the reasons that he wanted to move on in full?
Well, okay, you don't owe it to us, but the Packers fans. Yeah, Carson eventually talked about it. Yes, he talked about he didn't want to play for a losing organization anymore. He didn't think that the Bengals were a NFL franchise. You know, their practice facility was horrible. I mean, there's a long thing list of things that Carson talked about there.
Wait, we ever get a full, honest explanation from Tom Brady about why he left New England?
That's fair. But he was free to go. Like Tom could Tom could just walk away. He didn't have to say anything. He was like, here is my response to all of this. I'm leaving. I'm going to go play for the Buccaneers. This is different because you got money that's tied up with Aaron. And granted, you did draft his replacement in New England, Jimmy G, but we saw what happened with Tom Brady. Tom went above Belichick to make sure Jimmy G got escorted out of the building. He had a power move.
Here's something interesting, Dan. This already unfolded. This very scenario unfolded in the NFC North already this offseason. And no, it was not with a Super Bowl winning MVP legendary quarterback, but it was with a former number one overall pick. The Lions and Matthew Stafford went through this dance already. Okay. And maybe the Green Bay Packers, and I don't know when we've ever said this before, should take a page from the Detroit Lions playbook. And these two sides sat down, agreed that they would be better apart, and used it to their advantage. Matthew Stafford got what he wanted. Yeah. He wound up in L.A. The Lions traded him, got, what, 3 ones back for that guy? So everybody won. It was not messy. It was a clean divorce. But this is like somebody said this to me this morning, Dan. They said it's like the couple that disagrees, the married couple, where they – one couple wants to go into therapy. The other couple wants to get – the other person wants to get a divorce. But they want the person who wants to go to therapy to say, we want the divorce. Aaron Rodgers doesn't want it. He wants them to do everything. He wants them to draft Jordan Love. He wants them to be – and then he wants them to trade him when to me, he's just got to come out and literally cut the cord for everybody and say, I'm not coming back.
But that's why I said he's got to say something, Adam. You're saying
I've
he does.
Felt that.
Okay. But you said he didn't owe us.
No. He doesn't have to.
He owes the situation. So he can't. You want clarity, finality. Then you can. He can create that.
Finality, yes. Clarity, no. I don't think he's got to specify about Brian Gutekunst or Jake Coomer.
No, but he will give us clarity that he truly wants out by saying, "I truly want out." There. Now we know. I want. I'm not coming back. Trade me. How does this all play out? You're betting.
It's the biggest question of the offseason, and it's the biggest question since Tom Brady became a free agent last offseason in the NFL. And again, the Packers don't have to do anything. My guess is nobody will do anything until they have to. So my guess is there'll be OTAs later this month. He won't be there. There'll be training camp. And does he say, I owe it to the coaches who I really like and the players who I really like to be there? Or does his feeling override all that? And has he made the ultimate decision in his mind? It's done and over. And I don't know whether his stance softens, right? Like, again, people change their minds. That happens in life, in football, in business. I couldn't tell you how it's going to work out. All I can tell you is it is an issue. It's a big issue. And it's not going away, Dan.
Who's the starting quarterback for the Packers week one?
That's a great question, right? I don't know that Jordan Love is ready for that as much as the franchise invested in him. when you talk to people, that's the great part. So if somehow they move on from Aaron Rodgers,
they got to bring in another quarterback, Adam.
I think so, Dan. The way it was described to me this offseason was, I was talking to people about Jordan Love, people that have watched him practice, and I said, how is he? And the exact phrase was, he's got a long way to go.
Yeah, I figured. Hey, you're a great sport coming on and clarifying it. I appreciate that.
Well, I don't know if I offered you much clarity, Dan, but I tried to do the best I could.
Yeah, I know. Well, you did better than Rodgers is doing right now. Thank you, buddy.
That's, thank you, Dan.
Adam Schefter, the Adam Schefter Podcast. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Carl Hagelin, Nick Dowd, and Garnet Hathaway, they combined for 2 goals, 3 assists.
Here we go.
Right off the faceoff, 3 fights simultaneously. Rooney and Dowd. DiGiuseppe going at it with Hathaway, Blackwell, and Hagelin. 1 second in.
That's how it started last night. NBCSN, NHL on NBC Inside the Glass analyst Pierre Maguire was on the call for that game last night. He'll be on the call for tonight's Rangers-Bruins matchup, NBCSN. Probably less fireworks in that one. And Pierre, kind enough to join us. Pierre, when did you sense that there was something that was going to happen prior to or quickly after the puck was dropped?
Probably earlier in the afternoon, Dan, when I had a chance to talk to Lars Eller of the Washington Capitals. The Washington Capitals clearly brought their A game, not just athletically, but physically as well. And I think they were tired of some of the rhetoric that was going out there about their team. I know the Rangers were very tired about some of the rhetoric that was going on around their team. So I think earlier in the afternoon, I kind of felt there was going to be some shenanigans that was going to happen. Whether it happened at the start of the game or the middle of the period, I didn't know.
But also, if you send the fourth line out, both teams, I'm guessing you're sending out your tough guys, and that's not normal for a faceoff to start a matchup, is it?
Well, the one thing I'd give Peter Laviolette, the coach of the Washington Capitals, a little leeway on that. He doesn't get last change because he's on the road. And usually the line that you're talking about with Dowd, Hathaway, and Hagelin, they play a lot against the other team's top lines. So I don't think they were sure what exactly Mike Sullivan was going to do.
Okay.
I apologize. I'm thinking Pittsburgh. What David Quinn was going to do. But I would tell you this. David Quinn comes with his artillery. They don't have a lot of it, obviously, with the Rangers. And then everything kind of gets going.
Give us the backstory on this, Pierre.
Well, obviously, the Tom Wilson situation on Monday, Dan, wasn't something that endeared anybody, I think, in the hockey world to what happened. I mean, it was Tom Wilson getting involved with Pavel Buchnevich and then eventually getting involved with Artemi Panarin. Panarin being a superstar player in the league and Tom Wilson basically just tossing him down to the ice, and could have been very, very dangerous, obviously, as you know, without a helmet on. If he hits his head instead of his shoulder, Dan, I think we have a very large potential problem. Obviously, he hit his shoulder, not nearly as much mayhem or injury caused to Panarin, but that's really the backstory of this whole thing with Tom Wilson and the New York Rangers.
Okay, but $5,000 fine, no suspension. It's not like Tom Wilson doesn't have a rap sheet here, but can you factor in priors with someone like Tom Wilson, and should he have been suspended?
Well, I said last night, it begs the question, why wouldn't you have suspended him for one game? And I think if you had suspended him for that game last night, you wouldn't have had what we had. And I won't use my words, Dan. I'll use the words of Brendan Smith, who got involved and fought Tom Wilson. He said at the end of the game, I have no bad blood with anybody on the Washington Capitals. I do with Tom Wilson. And so if Tom Wilson's not part of the equation, I don't think we have what we had last night.
Explain the etiquette of fighting in today's NHL.
I don't know if I can. Things have changed a lot because of the salary cap. It used to be you could carry three or four extra players that would be quote-unquote enforcers. I don't think we have the room, the luxury of that anymore. Not that I call it a luxury, but against the salary cap, it's an issue. And now, you know, you need to be a player. You just can't be a one-dimensional asset to a team in terms of policing a game. You've got to be able to play. And if you can't, then you're not valuable. I will say this, Dan, I think it's really important. Tom Wilson's not a one-dimensional player. He's a really good, important power forward for the Washington Capitals. He was a major part of a Stanley Cup winning team. He's not a knuckle dragger. He's a legitimate good player, but sometimes he crosses the line. And he did that the other night in New York.
Okay, but how do you get your message across? You know, I go back to when the Oilers had Dave Semenko protecting Gretzky. How do you enforce without it being fighting in today's NHL?
Well, I think there's a lot of different ways. You can own the puck. The other team takes penalties trying to defend against you. You run the score up on the power play. You can play an aggressive forecheck game and target some of their defensemen. You can create matchups that you talked about correctly off the opening faceoff, where you put a depth player on against a star player and you make sure that star player feels some physical pain. You can do all that stuff. But the truth of the matter is, I would like to have a player like Tom Wilson on my team. I wish Rick Tocchet was still playing in the NHL. I had the privilege of coaching Rick. We won a Stanley Cup with Rick in Pittsburgh in 1992, and a big reason why we won, the physicality and the dogged determination of Rick Tocchet. They don't make a lot of players like that anymore. They really don't.
$5,000 for a guy who makes, whatever, $5 million. I mean, that doesn't seem like that's really impactful. Wouldn't you take a $5,000 hit if it meant that you were sending a message to a team like Wilson did?
Yeah, but I don't know what message he was sending in that situation. I know everybody said, oh, it was a scrum around the net.
Yeah.
It was a harmless scrum in a power play situation. He was out there actually killing a penalty. He knew the Rangers didn't have any artillery on the ice. So I don't know what message he's trying to present. It's already a Washington Capitals team that's down a lot of people because of injury and COVID-related instances, a team that's a legitimate contender to win the Cup. So I don't know what message he was sending to the Rangers. That being said, I think he got himself into trouble. Now he's really under scrutiny all the time. Every shift he takes in the league, he's under scrutiny now.
What's the NHL do, if anything, today?
They've got to look at the Pavel Buchnevich cross-check on Anthony Mantha. I don't know what they're going to do with that. That took place in the third period. I mean, that wasn't particularly good. So that's something they're going to have to look at. But all that being said, I think they have to look back and say, did we handle the Tom Wilson situation correctly?
Pierre, great to talk to you, buddy. And have fun tonight. Probably a little less drama with the Rangers and Bruins, right?
Really nice visiting with you, Dan. Thanks a lot.
That's Pierre McGuire.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.